summertime is up here, at any rate, is clearly a time for being on the water. So I suppose it's pretty natural that we would visit with people who spend time on the water, because we all do. We've, in the past, I've spoken with Dave and Amy Freeman about their great adventure across North America, with Keith Morris doing his 24-hour paddle with the canoe builders at North House. And now we've got a young canoe paddler who has been with us before, when she came to describe her epic paddle from Minneapolis to Hudson Bay, following the same route that Eric Severide took in his book. I think it was in the 30s, after which he wrote Canoeing with the Cree, a very famous canoeing book. Natalie Warren is now part of a new venture called Wild River Academy, and she's on the phone with us now to tell us about the academy and a special trip they're doing. Welcome to the Roadhouse.
Thank you so much.
Now, Natalie, leading up to this new venture, you've done a lot of paddling. Why don't you give us some of the highlights of your paddling history and how you got started and what you've done?
Gladly. So I'm from South Florida. I was born and raised in Miami, Florida, and I came up to the Gunflint Trail when I was 15 to go to YMCA Camp Minogen, and that was my first exposure to the Midwest in Minnesota, and I went on a two-week boundary water trip, and then I did their progression of trips. So I did a 30-day trip in Ontario, a 50-day trip doing the Kazan and Coon Walk Inuit Heritage Rivers up in Nunavut, Canada, and then I went to St. Olaf College, and my friend Ann and I, who I had met at camp, we decided that we wanted to be the first two women to paddle from Minneapolis to Hudson Bay, recreating Eric Severide's route from his book, Canoeing with the Cree. So we left June 2nd, 2011 from Fort Snelling State Park and got to York Factory on Hudson Bay on August 25th. And that was, so we went upstream on the Minnesota River, downstream on the Red River, went up the east shore of Lake Winnipeg, and then took the Hayes River out to York Factory.
That sounds simple.
Well, actually, so Wild River Academy leads trips on the Minnesota River now, and we go downstream. And whenever we have to, you know, go upstream just to get to a boat launch or something, I'm like, oh, no, no.
At least you were going downriver on the Hayes anyway.
That was nice. There was some really great white water that we got to paddle that year.
The Ann that you mentioned is Ann Rejo, right? And she has connections with our country here too, doesn't she?
I believe so, yeah. I mean, her parents live in a cabin at the end of the Gunflint Trail, and she just got back today from like a 50-day backpacking Alaska trip for Minogen. So
oh,
she's
really?
Up there all the time. Yeah.
Minogen is a long way from Miami. How did you wind up? I know they start with the same letter, but how did you wind up here?
Well, I went to art school for high school, and it was a pretty intense school. I was just playing saxophone all day, every day, and I decided it wasn't what I wanted to do, like I had thought, and that I needed to find other interests, because it's all I did all the time. And my neighbor, who was in jazz band with me at the time, his mom guided at Minogen, and he has family in Minnesota, and just in passing was like, oh yeah, you'd really like this camp. And I looked it up online and just really, on a whim, signed up for that two-week trip and flew up in the summer and absolutely fell in love with it. I mean, it's the reason why I became an environmental studies major and really interested in the outdoors in general.
That's a great story. And so in Florida, in Miami, you'd never paddle a canoe, I don't suppose?
Not really, no. I mean, I think I'd been kayaking once in the Everglades, but no, I didn't do too much. We used to go camping up on the Appalachian Trail, but it was always car camping. So it wasn't until I went up to the Boundary Waters that I really understood what it was like to live the lifestyle of being in the outdoors.
Mm-hmm. Well, I know we'll get to some serious stuff here in a minute, but saxophone? Did you take your saxophone on the trip, the Eric Severide route?
No, I didn't.
No musical instrument of any kind?
Well, we had a travel guitar and a ukulele, and if you look up Hudson Bay Bound on YouTube, you can see Ann and I had a little musical duo going there. So we were able to play music, which was awesome. And I'm playing music now. Our fundraiser, our music fundraiser event for this Mississippi trip, which we'll talk about, is August 25th in the cities, and I'm playing saxophone with a funk band for that.
Really?
I'm still playing.
Well, that's great. That's good. All right, then why don't you tell us now what all this led up to, this Wild River Academy. What is that?
Before we left on our trip to Hudson Bay, we were talking to people about the route, different experts and people in the DNR, and the general consensus was that, you know, we weren't going to like the Minnesota River. It's this agricultural, industrial river. It's really dirty, and, you know, you have to just paddle it because you're recreating this route. We're like, oh, that sounds awful. But when we were on it, it was just absolutely beautiful. And maybe, you know, our expectations were low, but it blew us away. That you just paddle through state parks, wildlife areas. Our very first day, we saw a family of otters. And the communities along the Minnesota River are very involved and vibrant. And we found that, you know, the first community we stopped in called the Next Community, and people were just taking care of us and really excited about us using the river for recreation. And so from that experience, I had this idea to start a program where we lead high school trips on, or canoe trips for high schoolers, women, families on the Minnesota River to get people to change their perception about the river. People don't use it for recreation, and anyone you ask in the cities will be like, why are you paddling the Minnesota River? It's so dirty. And I'm like, no. You know, it used to be the most polluted river in the nation, but it is no longer, and people are really starting to clean it up. I mean, you have over 250 miles of free-flowing water into the cities, and that's more than, you know, the St. Croix even has. So we're just trying to get people to see it as a recreational resource. So what we do, a year ago, actually, I founded Wild River Academy, and I have two business partners, Nick and Anna, who are going on the Mississippi trip this fall. And we've been building this program where we take students out. We start in Montevideo, Minnesota, and we stay at Moonstone Organic Farm. And we learn about what they do there. They have grass-fed beef. They have a vineyard. They feed us this really great local organic meal. And then we camp, go through orientation, and then start on the river the next day. Our trip is different from just an outdoor excursion because we do all the outdoor skills, and we cook and camp and all that, but we try to meet community members and learn a lot about the history and where we are to understand, you know, how did the Minnesota River come about and who has been here before us. So we work with the DNR. They teach us how to fish. They teach us about fish migrations. We talk to naturalists, do macroinvertebrate testings, talk to Dakota people about the history and their shared use of the river to try to get a holistic view of the watershed. So, yeah, it's a great spot for experiential learning. I know that was a lot.
Yeah, well, that's good. And so do you advertise and try to market trips for students to come along, or do you work through schools, or how do you get your trips filled out?
That's a great question. So Nick, Anna, and myself are all 23, 24. None of us went to business school. And so a lot of people are like, how do you know what to do? But I mean, we really just, if you have confidence and know that you can achieve something, you ask for help from people who do know how to do these things. We have a great group of mentors, and the way we are trying to set up trips, we are trying to partner with schools. So we did a Rivers Edge Academy trip this summer. Rivers Edge Academy is a charter Outward Bound school in St. Paul. And we raised money to take a group of their students out on a 7-day trip, which if you want to read the blog about that trip, we were out in like a tornado watch. Our cars were stuck in western Minnesota for a month, and it was a huge adventure. We ideally would like to partner with schools. We did a lot of individual sign-ups for our first summer to kind of build clout and prove that we are a working organization. So to do that, you know, you have to collect pictures and videos and really put yourself out there to say, like, hey, you know, this is who we are, this is what we do, and you can trust us.
And where is that blog of that trip?
So if you go to wildriveracademy.com,
yep,
there's a tab there for our blog, and it was just a crazy adventure. The river at one point near the end of our trip was rising an inch an hour because of the rainfalls at the headwaters, and we were just zooming past. I mean, trees were falling into the river, and It was insane.
So, yeah, I just clicked on that. There's a number of blogs on that page, aren't there?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So you focused on the Minnesota River, and you mentioned that it used to be the most polluted river in the country. Where did you get that from? And what's been happening to change that?
Mm-hmm, definitely. So we are partnered with Cure Minnesota, Clean Up Our River Environment. They're an organization in Montevideo who are focused on cleaning up the Minnesota River, trying to focus on clean energy. They fight a lot of mining proposals and just try to keep the river a healthy place for people to fish and recreate. They've done things like bought out 100,000 acres of farm along the river and planted native prairie grass and stuff like that. So 20 years ago, people realized, like, you know, the Minnesota River is very polluted and we still use it for recreation, but, you know, we want it to be a healthy water system for our communities. And so they started working hard, just removing physical trash, honestly, from the river. And then now they're starting to look more at the chemical components. But the naturalist we work with gave us a little gem. He told us that it's safer to eat the fish on the Minnesota River than it is to eat the fish in the Boundary Waters.
Really?
Which kind of blew our minds. And that's just based on mercury levels. But and like, you know, people would go up to the Boundary Waters just to fish, and then they'd say, you know, I would never eat the fish from the Minnesota River. So we're just slowly trying to change perceptions, because it has cleaned up drastically in the past 20 years due to just more community focus on it.
Okay, if you've just joined us, we're here at WTIP in Grand Marais on the Roadhouse, and we're talking with Natalie Warren, who's one of the founders of the Wild River Academy, dealing with the Minnesota River, and I think rivers beyond Minnesota's river, because you've got a special trip planned now. What's it called? Paddle for Change. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, absolutely. So this fall, there are 10 young adults, including myself and Nick and Anna, who also work with Wild River Academy, who are paddling the length of the Mississippi River to create a video documentary about watershed communities and their relationship with the water. So we're starting September 18th. We plan to take 70 to 80 days. We're starting from Itasca State Park, and we're stopping in specific communities to interview a spectrum of people, from mayors and park rangers that we have lined up, and then just people along the street to ask the simple question, how do you use the Mississippi River? I think what we're going to find is that people in the upper Mississippi River recreate on it more than when you get farther south. It's more of an industrial river, and the barges and all of that start kicking in. But I'm just intrigued by the river itself, this combination of beauty and industry, and trying to find a balance between the
mm-hmm.
two.
Well, have you got some sponsorship support for that, or allowing you to do this documentary?
Yeah, those are still in the works. Where individually, each person is raising $1,000,
mm-hmm.
and then through Wild River Academy, we'll be able to cover our transportation and our food costs. But we are talking with different energy companies and things like that to see if we could get funding for this documentary, because we can, you know, film it, but we're going to need money to edit it and send it out, and we're hoping to premiere it at Canucopia in 2014.
Oh, really? And what are you kind of expecting to find? Do you have some expectations, or are you just going in an open mind? Do you have a point of view already established for what the conclusion of the documentary might be?
So we have a fine line between planning things and letting things unfold.
Mm-hmm.
So there's an alliance of mayors for clean water along the whole Mississippi River already. Mm-hmm. So we're planning to talk to them about different issues in their communities and how they use the Mississippi River. Or what we expect to find is that people in the upper Mississippi River recreate on the water a little bit more. And then as you get farther south, as, you know, there are more barges and just industry in general, that people maybe view the river differently. Maybe they don't recreate on it. There aren't as many boat access places. And we're just curious to see if it's just something that they drive over on a bridge, how they relate to it.
It's also larger and faster and more
right.
filled with maybe logs floating down. And so I suppose it's a little less inviting for recreation.
Absolutely, it's a very diverse river.
Is it your view that should change? There should be a way to use the Mississippi through its entire length for recreation?
I mean, maybe personally, but we're really not going to. We actually had a rebranding meeting yesterday, mm-hmm. and Paddle for Change initially came up when we wanted to do some climate change work. And then over time, as we continued talking, we're like, well, I think the best thing that we can do as 10 young people going into communities where we're not from, like, we're not going to be doing the teaching. We're going to be doing the listening. Mm-hmm. And we are just curious to see how people use the water. And we're not really there to say this is how you should use the water, because that's just too much of like an agenda, and it's really not our place to be able to say that.
Sure, and that might be something that different people conclude after watching what an objective view, but it's not. Yeah, that was the question I really had related to the Paddle for Change. What are you intending to change? And you're saying
right
now that that's not really your goal. You're really interested mm-hmm. in documenting this, what is happening along the river, and let the chips fall where they may.
Correct. We're actually changing our name to Paddle Forward. So in the next
Paddle
few
Forward,
days,
excellent.
Things will be changing.
Paddle downstream and for a change, yeah.
We'll just float there.
When you do your trips on the Minnesota River now, I take it you paddle downstream.
Yes, it's awesome.
Good choice. Well, it is a beautiful river. I mean, I grew up right near Fort Snelling, where the Minnesota River ends and comes mm-hmm. into the Mississippi, and we spent a lot of time in the bottomlands there on the along the Minnesota, and especially enjoyed springtime when it would overflow its banks, flood the whole Mendota area. And I think that's changed a little bit now, but I know there's still been some huge floods along that river.
Absolutely. I think one of the things that we're going to find when we talk to people is that, or what I found when I was paddling the Minnesota River and the Red River, that people who live on it are slightly more wary of it. Mm-hmm. because they've seen its destruction
right
more than other people.
Sure.
And so I think we're going to hear a lot of stories about flooding as we go down.
Well, I'm sure you're going to have some interesting tales to tell, and you have an invitation to come back to talk to us after you finish this trip, and maybe after you finish making the documentary to let us know where we can see it and what you've concluded from your trip. So, Natalie, thank you very much for joining us here on the Roadhouse.
Thank you so much for having me.
Good luck with your trip.
Thank you. Oh, also, people can follow us on our website when we get that up. So we'll have an interactive map, and I'll send you all the information
I assume that'll be a link on wildriveracademy.com.
Yep, absolutely.
So that's where you can go, folks, if you want to follow up a little bit more on what we've been talking about, wildriveracademy.com.